Hello everyone, I'm John Noonan of Azure Marketing, and I'm excited to have Group Program Manager Corey Sanders here to discuss Azure Infrastructure Services. We'll start out with a presentation from Corey and finish up with a few minutes of Q&A. So if you have any questions along the way, feel free to submit those and we'll answer as many as we can at the end. Just to note, we'll be providing a copy of the slides and a recording of the webinar via email for your future reference. And with that, I'll hand it off to Corey.
Thanks a lot, John. Well, and thank you all for joining me here today. I'm excited to tell you a little bit about Azure and the infrastructure services product that we have available. To start off, I always like to spend a minute and just say, you know, what is infrastructure as a service? It's talked about a lot. There's a lot of excitement out there. You know, what are we really looking at when we think of this? And in a very simplistic way, infrastructure as a service is simply some rented hardware. It ends up being compute, storage, and networking put together in such a way that you can go deploy applications and services on top of this environment. And so it allows you to sort of use this hardware in such a way that you can deploy those applications very, very easily and quickly. And so that's the baseline of sort of what is infrastructure as a service. But then the real question is, great, but I have that already, or I already have those boxes in my office, or those boxes down the street from that other location that I own. Why am I going to use the cloud? And so what you're going to end up seeing today as I walk you through infrastructure as a service on Azure is really sort of the power that we can offer you in enabling infrastructure as a service to be able to do many different things and many new things that you and your business couldn't do previously. This includes support for a larger global reach than perhaps you've ever seen, much faster time to market and agility, getting your applications out there and deployed in a very, very quick and easy way, fast automation, being able to deploy and manage and configure your solutions and services on these virtual machines incredibly quickly and easily. Pay per use. The wonderful thing about infrastructure service on Azure is that it's a per minute pay. So if you use your virtual machine, you run an application for 7 minutes, you're going to pay for 7 minutes of that hardware. There's no longer any of these large capital expenditures, huge investments that you have to go spend. You just play, you go, and you pay for exactly what you use, which then has a major impact on that overall cost. You're using this for dev test, you'd use it for 5 days a week, you're no longer using 7 days. That's a gigantic savings that you get to go put back into other parts of your business. And so this is the baseline of sort of why people think cloud. Why do they want to use infrastructure service in the cloud? And these are some of the main reasons that you'll see echoed throughout the entire presentation. So as sort of that baseline gets done, you know, one thing just to quickly do and just spend 1 minute on is just show you really how easy this is. What does this actually look like on the infrastructure and service product on Azure? And so to quickly slide you over, this is the Azure portal. If you sign up for Azure and you deploy and want to deploy infrastructure as a service, you end up seeing this experience. You can go in and you can manage your virtual machines that are deployed in your account, sort of see their health. You can see that they're running healthy. You can see sort of the overall, the location that they're in, the DNS name that's associated with those machines. And so you have all this sort of at your fingertips to be able to deploy and manage. And just to show you sort of what I mean when I say, gosh, this is easy, it's fast, it's really, really, really simple to use, just going to New Compute Virtual Machine, and from Gallery, it pulls up the pre-built images that we already have available in Azure. And so from these images, you can now go get that virtual machine compute, storage, and networking set up with just a few clicks. So here I could say, this is wonderful. Let me actually go in and spin up a SQL Server here, a 2014, let's say, data warehousing. Go through, pick my name. Corey SQL VM box. Let's just call it Corey SQL VM. Pick my size from a large variety of virtual machine sizes. You can go straight in and pick which one you want based on what you're using it for, all the way up to 16 cores and 112 gig memory, down to a shared core and significantly cheaper price for those lower sizes. You can go in and just select, maybe you want a high memory one, four cores by 28 memory. Pick my username, my password that I want to use to log in. Click through a few more screens about how I want to set it up. Let's see the location that I want to deploy it into. Let's say I'm going to say, well, let's go Southeast Asia for this one. Whatever open ports I want to open up. And I'll explain a little bit more about how to configure it later. And with that, I'm done. Now, I now have a new virtual machine completely available for me to go deploy whatever I want to. And in this case, SQL Server will be pre-installed and allow me to go in and manipulate that and deploy it in whatever way I want to. And so that's just the very simple getting started phase. Let me now walk you through a little bit more about really why Azure and sort of how some of this works under the covers so you have a better sense of what you're sort of getting yourself into as you deploy this way. And so first, just talking about the Azure platform. The Azure platform is actually a large set of solutions and services that we have available. It spans across infrastructure as a service, as we're talking about today, but it also covers a whole lot of platform as a service offerings that we have across data, SQL databases, web, mobile, gaming solutions. There's just quite a few with different language and support. I'm not going to be covering these today, but the Azure platform really spans this entire spectrum and allows you to piece these things together in a much easier way than you probably can do on your own. And so one exciting part about Azure is, of course, the cross-platform solutions and the multiple combinations that you can go build using infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. And so when we look at infrastructure services specifically for Azure and what makes it sort of unique as you look at sort of all the cloud providers out there and you start wondering, well, gosh, you know, what makes Azure different? What should I look for when I'm thinking of a cloud provider? The three big areas that we really focus on in Azure, and we believe that this is areas that customers are really interested and looking to use in the cloud, are hyperscale, enterprise grade, and hybrid. Hyperscale, the focus of hyperscale is really around sort of what is the scale and magnitude of this cloud provider? How big can I grow? Let's say I want to start small, but man, in 3-5 years, I want to move my entire data center up into the cloud or at least start doing massive workloads up there in this rented space. The value is clearly there. I need a cloud provider that's going to offer me that scale. And so when you look at Azure, some of the things that are really interesting when it comes to our hyperscale, first, the amount of regions that we have worldwide. So we support, by the end of 2014, we'll have 16 regions worldwide, a very exciting collection of different deployment locations where you can go pick and choose how you want to deploy your global application or your local regional application. Both will be possible with this wider range of different locations that you can deploy. And so one aspect of hyperscale is just the amount of regions and locations you can deploy into. Another big one, of course, is just the scale and magnitude of the applications that can run on Azure. We recently launched a game on Xbox called Titanfall, and this game was actually released by a partner but is deployed on top of Azure. And so it uses Azure Compute to be able to handle the scale that comes with deploying massive multiplayer global games. And so the game was hosted entirely on Azure. More than 100,000 virtual machines were deployed for just this one game. So one customer, 100,000 virtual machines, gave us the hyperscale and gave that platform the hyperscale for a relatively small company to be able to deploy this game directly in Azure and experiment with the growth rates that they needed to be able to see sort of how the game went and only pay for the scale that they needed. And so it's an exciting part of that hyperscale. They were able to grow to a really large size based on the demand of their game. And you want to be able to do that too when you deploy an infrastructure as a service. From an enterprise-grade perspective, the real focus that we have in enterprise-grade is across a few different things. One is, of course, security and ecosystem. The support that we have for security and ecosystem, enabling solutions, anti-malware solutions, available directly through the portal across Microsoft, Symantec, and Trend Micro, with solutions available there for you to deploy very easily and very quickly. Very exciting solutions. We also, of course, through corporate assurance and through our enterprise-grade focus, have a lot of capabilities around trustworthy compliance. Being able to support a different set of compliances across many different government and local aspects and requirements across those compliances, including things like ISO, including things like FedRAMP, HIPAA, and PCI, solutions that allow you to deploy your solution and your website and your service in such a way that you don't have to worry about whether it's going to be trusted in this environment. Similarly, enterprise-grade support allows us to be able to deploy and manage supported solutions in the way that you're familiar with Microsoft. If you're already deploying using SQL or Windows, the ability to have this level of support to be able to call in and have a single contact to be able to work through your solution across all of Microsoft's platform is a very powerful aspect of our platform. Two other big areas, of course, are disaster recovery and then cloud HA to be able to deploy a disaster recovery solution from on-prem into the cloud and be able to use the cloud as sort of your backup solution for that on-prem environment, very easy and fast deployment. And, of course, just being able to use the cloud for your own HA. You may not be able to support or fund two regions in different global locations to be able to do your backups and your high availability in those regions. With Azure, you now can do that at, again, that simple per minute price and easily deploy across those two different regions. Excellent. When we look at sort of the next wave of enterprise grade, one big aspect of this is manageability. And so corporate assurance, the trust, which I just covered, now, of course, with manageability, the ability to sort of have DevOps solutions and be able to deploy across many different DevOps solutions that you want, whether it be the built-in solutions that we have for PowerShell, for Chef, for Puppet, allow you to sort of deploy in a very easy and simple way. You saw it through the portal when I showed you the ability to click the install of these solutions. This will enable a lot of capability and power to be able to deploy virtual machines without ever having to go in and manage them. From the additional support, being able to deploy through the development IDE, being able to use Visual Studio to directly deploy, and I'll show you a demo of that a little bit later. And also, of course, just the management integration, being able to do System Center and be able to deploy with the System Center solution directly managing your virtual machines in Azure. Finally, the last four big aspects are hybrid. The last aspect is hybrid with four big pillars across hybrid. One is the infrastructure. When we look at hybrid, hybrid's a really, really exciting aspect for customers and really critical to be able to deploy an infrastructure as a service solution in the cloud. The main reason for this is no one's going to move their entire service all at once. They're going to take time. They're going to do parts of their service. Maybe some parts they want to keep on-premises in their private or their hosted cloud and sort of manage it this way. This is why we take hybrid very seriously at Azure and Microsoft in general. We want to be able to support customers in their migration and their transition to use the cloud however they want to. It is not a forceful aspect of the conversation. And so if there are parts you want to use and other parts you want to keep where they are, so be it. But we want to make sure that connection point between them is incredibly easy to go use and manage. And so this spans across a bunch of different areas. One, the infrastructure support and being able to deploy across a hybrid infrastructure requires you to be able to connect in a seamless and high throughput manner. And so this requires a set of solutions and a set of connection points using a product that we like to call ExpressRoute and be able to connect using whatever your favorite telco provider may be, AT&T, Verizon, BT, Level 3, Singtel, etc. You can go connect and deploy with just a simple phone call to those providers, and they hardwire you right into the Azure network, making it simple and easy to connect. Very critical aspect of the hybrid story. But from us, hybrid is not just about the pipe. It's actually about a full experience. And so when you look at hybrid and you start saying, well, what else is there? The other big aspects of hybrid are identity. Being able to support the having similar identity and user access accounts on-premise and in the cloud, so if you have to revoke accounts or if you have to add new accounts, you don't have to do it a dozen different times in a dozen different places. You can do it once. And that replication is all built on our Windows Server Active Directory backbone with Microsoft Azure Active Directory as the cloud-based solution. Using this single identity solution, you can now create a hybrid experience for your users by allowing the same access control in both places. A very powerful solution for those who are using Active Directory. It makes it simple and easy to have that login. Similarly, from a hybrid perspective, being able to use data in the same way in the cloud that you'd use on-premises or in your private and hosted cloud is critical. Your apps may have a hard time shifting over to new cloud-based models, and so part of hybrid is being able to support these types of scenarios where you may be able to deploy and use the data that you've already got. So with our import-export solution, you can take disks and you can mail them to us. If you don't feel like sending them or uploading them, you can actually send them up using a FedEx-based system or mail-based system and get them to us in a much sort of easier way using the throughput that you've got through the mail system. Similarly, with a recently announced Azure File solution, we now offer a direct SMB 2.1 head on top of our storage system, allowing your virtual machines to talk to an SMB solution like they're comfortable with. Applications have used this for years. Websites have used this for years. You now can directly talk on top of our storage system using this same type of protocol to be able to have your virtual machines run in the same way they'd run on-premises, allowing, again, that very simple hybrid experience. And finally, application support. Being able to have your applications run in the same way in both places. Having SQL Server built in with application support to deploy. Having SharePoint, having images built in. BizTalk having images built in. We even have Oracle images available for you to deploy and directly launch into Azure straight from our portal experience, allowing that sort of hybrid application experience to work in both places. Excellent. And so across the hybrid enterprise grade and hyperscale solutions, we feel like Azure offers a nice collection of scale when you need it, enterprise control and enterprise expectations on management when you want it, and hybrid when you need it. And so the ability to connect, deploy, manage, and then scale all come with Azure as part of this infrastructure as a service offering. So the next big question, of course, becomes, well, great. What can I do with this? Why would I use this? You've shown me all the power. You've shown me why Azure is great. But show me a little bit more about what I'm going to do with this. Well, that's a great question. Let me go ahead and do that. So the first aspect of this is we see a lot of excitement around using the cloud for development testing and then running those new applications that you started in the cloud. Today on-premises or in private hosted cloud, it's actually kind of a chore to be able to get dev and test started up. Sometimes the hardware budget's limited, licensed software can be a little bit of a difficult aspect to go figure out. Resource contention, sometimes you're fighting for those virtual machines, you're trying to understand how to get that agility while not necessarily having to worry about the spend of that hardware. And so dev test becomes such a clear and obvious scenario because almost always it's not running 24/7. It's shorter, it's maybe 2 or 3 days a week, maybe it's just 1 month and then it's done, the project's over. So the ability to sort of do a dev test project in the cloud is a clear and obvious win for you. And so when we look at what Azure can offer when it comes to dev test, again, the cost-effective pay for what you use. Put your app up there for 7 minutes, you pay for 7 minutes. The agility of the platform, which I'll walk through, to deploy and manage, and then, of course, the ready-to-use gallery images, all making it extremely easy to deploy. But maybe you already have a solution. Maybe you already have a deployment and you want to be able to launch your virtual machines using those existing virtual machines. The wonderful part about Azure when it comes to dev tests or even production deployments, we just run VHDs. And so if you have VHDs or even if you have VMDK solutions on premises, you can convert these easily into VHDs and run them into Azure without any sort of additional problems or muckety-muck to get it up there. And so it ends up just becoming a VHD file that you just launch up and you can take back down later. Many dev test environments that we've worked through that I've worked on personally, they have the plans to bring it back down on premises for production. No problem, right? With the hybrid support that we offer and with the ability to move these images back and forth, that's a snap. Just get it down there, redeploy it, and you're good to go. From a deployment perspective, One aspect that we have that we're very excited about is our MSDN offer. For those folks out there who are MSDN users and have the MSDN offer across the different types of MSDN solution, we have dramatic savings and special images for you to deploy. So you can deploy Windows with a 33% savings. You can deploy SQL and BizTalk with upwards of a 97% savings to do your dev test against these products in the cloud. We have special images, including Windows client images. So Windows 7, 1, and 8 clients you can deploy directly into your MSDN account for dev test usage. In addition to this, add on top, we have the highest value sizes available in our basic VM sizes. And so in these, you have to bring your own load balancer and you have to bring your own autoscale. We will not offer those by default, but so the price point is much lower, allowing you to do more perhaps with your dev test environments or even your production environments if sort of the load balancer or the autoscale or the CPU performance are not critical aspects to what you're trying to do. And some of the example of prices, $150 a year for a basic size if you're doing it by 8x5 for dev test. It's just a great savings for you to go deploy these virtual machines and do your dev test environment in Azure. This has got direct integration with Visual Studio and Infrastructure as a Service. Being able to deploy a virtual machine directly using Server Explorer, publish directly to that virtual machine using Web Deploy, and even do remote debugging directly from Visual Studio. It gives you the power and the scale and the agility of the cloud while the ease of use and the IDE experience that you're familiar with on Visual Studio. So let me go in and actually show you what that looks like here in the next slide. And so with Web Deploy, you can launch directly onto IIS. You can launch in and drop your remote debugger in and use the Visual Studio remote debugger and be able to manage that for IIS or even just for anything Windows. And you can deploy and manage this all through Visual Studio. So let me quickly show you what that looks like. So first, to show you quickly, this is actually an MSDN account that I have. You can see I have no virtual machines deployed, but I'm ready to get started, and I want to go launch those new solutions. So in this account, again, I have those gigantic savings when it comes to SQL and when it comes to BizTalk, but I also have the special images. And so I'll go in here, and let me just put MSDN, click the tab for MSDN, and suddenly you see I have a set of different and distinct images that are available only to me. And so I can go in and I can deploy BizTalk Server Developer Edition built by the BizTalk team. I have a couple Dynamics images available, Visual Studio images for me to actually do my development and management directly in the cloud across both Premium, Professional, and Ultimate. And here you can see I have Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 client-based images for me to be able to deploy directly into my MSDN account. Of course, I have all the other images that I've already talked about across SQL. If I unclick MSDN across SQL, BizTalk, Oracle, and then, of course, my Linux offerings across Ubuntu, CentOS, and SUSE, I can deploy any solution I want, even a Puppet Lab solution, all through this MSDN account with the savings I mentioned. And, of course, those MSDN images are only available to me through my MSDN solution. And so to quickly show you that connection point back to Visual Studio, I've got Visual Studio open up, and here it's connected directly to my account using my account credentials. And so I have the set of images that are available, VMs that are available and deployed in my account. I can go in and do all sorts of things. I can connect directly to this using remote desktop from here, and it'll immediately pop up my remote desktop connection point, and I can log in my username and connect. I can even go in and restart it. And so I can go and say this virtual machine, I'll go ahead and hit restart, and now that'll go ahead and restart that virtual machine in the cloud. But as the point that I mentioned before, one of the really interesting aspects, straight from here, I can go in and say attach debugger. And so without ever logging into the box and without ever installing anything on the box manually, I now have a debugger for me to go in and take a look at all the services that are running inside that remote virtual machine that's running in our East data center, so very far away from where I am right now. And I can go in and I can connect and I can go manipulate this, I can attach, and I can go debug these things. as much as I want to. And so it allows this remote debugging. It allows me to go in and connect and use the debugging experience that Visual Studio does so well, and allows me to make that connection point straight to the virtual machine. Very good. The other aspect of this, which I hinted at, is, of course, the bigger community and gallery. And so to show you a little bit of this, you know, we have a very large VM Depot solution and scenario to allow community and folks out there to go update their own images and upload them for usage in the cloud, in Azure specifically. And it allows them to sort of deploy and use these images in whatever application deployment they want. In addition, we of course have the pre-built Linux solutions built by partners to be able to deploy Linux solutions directly into Azure as well. And so to show you quickly what this looks like, let me quickly run over here back to my account. And so as I mentioned, you can go in and deploy any sort of Linux solution that you want. These are offered by these publisher partners. So Canonical offered the Ubuntu solution, the CentOS-based solution offered by OpenLogic, and SUSE offered again by SUSE, both SLES and OpenSUSE. And so you can go in and deploy these. You can set up SSH, upload your key, and you're ready to go launch them. Now, the VM Depot scenario, and this is the point that I mentioned, community-based, this allows anyone to go upload whatever image they want to make available to their customers or partners or just the open community for usage. And so if you look here, the amount that we have available for VM Depot is quite extensive. Many of them built by publishers you probably know. Here you can see one built by Bitnami. And so you can see Discourse, Drupal, GitLab, all the solutions you may want to be able to deploy directly as a virtual machine inside Azure using this community solution. So even if your dev test scenarios are not Visual Studio, are not Windows, are not SQL, we still have through Azure the most rounded scenario and solution for you to deploy these type of open and community-based services and solutions in addition to the Microsoft products that I've already mentioned. Great. Going back to the slides. And so as mentioned, to be able to configure these virtual machines is a very important part of the overall service when you're looking at dev test. And so for the virtual machine configuration directly in the portal, you can configure using either Puppet, Chef, or our custom script, which ends up being PowerShell. And so you can go in and say Puppet and say, here's my Puppet Master server directly integrated into the portal. So it allows you to launch and deploy and manage your virtual machine without ever logging on. Similarly with Chef, you can pass whatever the configuration you need to pass and the certificate to be able to manage it, and you can deploy this directly into your virtual machine without ever having to log on. And finally, of course, the PowerShell support and being able to launch a PowerShell script directly inside your virtual machine without really any frustration or any difficulties in management. So the very last demo I want to show you quickly when it comes to being able to manage and configure your virtual machines. You've seen a lot of the portal. The portal's fantastic. It's easy to use. It's simple. It guides you to where you need to go. But it may not give you the full level of control and power that you really want to use when you're using the cloud and using Azure for your deployment. And so the two other aspects that I wanted to show you are interacting with our command line interfaces and being able to deploy and manage virtual machines using these. And so to quickly show you this, I would like to demo both our PowerShell integration and our XPLAT integration, to our cross-platform integration, to be able to deploy on any client-based machine that you want to. So first, with PowerShell. So here you can see I've got PowerShell open, and I've got my ISE open for usage. And very, very simply, the huge amount of PowerShell control and power, but I'll just show you sort of this quick example. All I do is I add an Azure account, which then ends up being my my Azure Active Directory account, and I can go in and connect and be able to deploy using that. I set the subscription name, the storage account, and then I pick the image that I want. And so in this situation, I'm picking, let's say, a Windows Server image. I also could deploy using a SQL image, even deploy to an Ubuntu or an Oracle image directly using PowerShell, and being able to script all the settings and controls that I want. And so with a simple go on this, it'll pop up for my credentials and be able to launch straight from there be able to create this virtual machine straight from the scripting environment, allowing me to build much more complex scenarios. And so if you go to our scripting center, we have a large amount of complex scenarios for you to go pick and choose how to deploy. Now, while that's launching, I'll show you our cross-platform scripting solution, which ends up being giving you the ability to deploy using a Node.js-based solution that can run on top of Mac, on top of Windows, or on top of Linux, and be able to do the similar sort of command line experience that you'd probably want from just PowerShell. And so very simply, using sort of these command line experiences, you can quickly say, import my account and make sure that I've got my published settings ready to go. And what this is doing is giving me access to be able to deploy into my Azure account. And so with this, it's very similar to what you saw here in PowerShell with Add Azure Account. It now has set me up to be able to deploy directly into this account. I can then go take a look and see what VMs I've got deployed in this account and manage it directly from this command prompt. And so it's talking now to Azure. It's pulling down my virtual machines. And here you can see the full list of virtual machines and what they're running and how they're running. And so it allows me to sort of play and manipulate with these virtual machines, these same ones that I showed you. In fact, this one was the one we restarted from Visual Studio. They're the same list that that we just deployed. And if you see here, the one that I just launched is actually called the Cori Server Test East, which is right here. It's a Cori Server subscription, and the role state's unknown. It's actually just getting started, and it's running, and there's Cori Server Test East over here. So I can just go in and actually create using this, Cori Test VM, and that just creates the container for me, and it tells me where do I want to deploy it. Well, let's say this one should go to Southeast Asia maybe. Excellent. And now I can go ahead and create a VM pointing to that. And it's as simple as that. I'll grab the image name here for Oracle. Username, password. And away I go. And then this completely scripts that solution. And so this, again, allows you to build out and build much more complex solutions using our scripting technology and allows you to be able to deploy using that on Azure and build out the full solution. And so to show you a little bit about this, with our full scripting center, you can go in and manage and deploy whatever scripts you want to with the full capability of that PowerShell support, deploying virtual machines with two data disks, deploying from a gallery image, being able to deploy a full IIS with SQL backend, being able to deploy with a Mongo backend, and being able to sort of deploy all these solutions available directly in the scripting center found under our documentation tab on the portal. Excellent. To go back to the slides, once you're done with your dev test experience, you're probably ready to start moving on to a little bit more complex scenarios, a little bit more production-based workloads. And this is really where the other scenarios and solutions come really clearly in mind for using Azure for your deployment. Extending your infrastructure from an on-prem private or hosted cloud is a really powerful experience. It allows that on-demand scale and compute, but allows you to just extend to from your current network directly into the cloud. And so if you look at sort of what we can make available through Azure, being able to deploy and manage your entire IP address space that you've deployed inside Azure. Because you've already used a certain address space on-premises, you need to be able to pick which address space you want to dedicate to the cloud. And so we allow you with software-defined networking to be able to control and define that network to be able to deploy using it for your production-based applications. You can bring your own DNS, and so if you want to connect back to an on-premise Active Directory, one of the more common reasons why people want hybrid solutions is to connect to that AD back on-premises. This allows you to point your DNS back to that AD server that you're already running on-premises as well, and be able to domain join your virtual machines by default on start to that Active Directory running on-premises. And, of course, using the partners for that extremely fast solution. And so if you think through sort of the building of this, we support very easy connection of just a VPN device that you may be running on-premises to a gateway that we will deploy on your behalf. And that gateway then can be easily configured to manage that device connectivity from an on-premise one site or multiple sites and be able to connect into the cloud, again, using sort of your own DNS, using your own IP address space that you want to use. Likewise, as mentioned, using ExpressRoute, you can go in and select one of these partners and have a very fast, very high throughput MPLS-based line, either going in and setting up shop at Equinix or perhaps just hooking up with an already supported AT&T, Verizon, BT, Telegroup, Telecity Group, Singtel Level 3 connection, and be able to go in and plug in and go. And this allows that application to feel as if it's just a part of your on-premise environment. Very fast, very high throughput. But that's not the only way to get that type of connectivity. And so if you look at sort of the full range of hybrid connectivity options, we obviously have data synchronization, which I've talked about, and application layering. This secure site-to-site and express route allows you to bring an entire site on-premises to connect to the entire site in the cloud. But one very unique offering that Azure has is to be able to do a point-to-site connection. And what this means is that using your local client box, you're able to set up through that client box IPsec connection, you can go in through an SSL connection and directly talk to that local network or that private network running in Azure. And so you don't need all the setup and all the configuration and all the devices to be able to set up a hybrid connection to your laptop that you may be running as part of your corporate domain. All you need to do is be able to connect to a 443 port connection, and you're able to configure this from a Windows box running anywhere. And so it allows you to get that point connection to your cloud site in a very easy way. And so to show, and again, connecting from anywhere, no software installations required, easy to use, this is very, very ideal for prototyping. Prove that the cloud's going to work. Be able to set this up quickly. Development, testing, and of course, demos. Very, very fast hyperconnectivity without necessarily the device or the muckety-muck of those device and partner solutions, which then will be much more powerful as you move forward. And just to show you quickly what this sort of looks like from a building solution perspective, it's amazingly easy to go in and say, I want to go set up a virtual network, as you can see here in the portal, custom create. I'm going to call it Cori Virtual Net, pick my location. This time I'll say East US. Go in, pick my DNS server, as I mentioned, DC1. Let's say it's IP 10.20.2.4. Go ahead and configure it. Configure my point-to-site VPN or my site-to-site VPN, allowing those two different types of connections. Or, again, using ExpressRoute, using a partner like AT&T to connect. And then go in and pick your subnets. Go in and pick the IP address range that you want and how big you want them. The complete control and configuration options that you have here make it incredibly easy to set up your network, whether you're a long-time networking pro or whether you're new to the networking space and may not even know how to do CIDR, which I sometimes forget, allows you to remember, oh, okay, so /8/29 is going to be 8 IP addresses. It all helps you set this up and get going no matter what your range of user may be. And once you've got that hybrid connectivity, you can do whatever you want to do. From a storage, backup, and recover scenario using SQL Server, being able to take SQL Server and directly back it up into those disks in the cloud, being able to use the cloud for a complete DR environment, using SQL Server always on, cross-region replication, and use the read-only secondary that SQL Server enables, with the cloud being your secondary site or being both your primary and your secondary site. These scenarios and solutions become very easy and very possible with that global scale and this enterprise-grade support that's available in Azure. Finally, with the site recovery scenario, a full disk-based DR scenario allowing you to use Hyper-V replica technology to take on-premise deployments and be able to replicate them directly into the cloud without a second site. This has actually democratized your entire DR scenario. There is no workload that you don't have to avoid using DR because of cost, because now this goes into the cloud using the tried and tested infrastructure as a service for you to be able to do this DR scenario and be able to manage your solution on premises using the cloud as that backup scenario. Very powerful, very recent announcement that we've made around site recovery. Excellent. So I've talked to you a little bit about why Azure? I've talked to you a little bit about what you can do with it, dev test, hybrid connections using production workloads, and then a backup DR scenarios, being able to use the cloud as that second or third location that you may not be able to spin up on your own. Now I want to spend you a few minutes to talk about, well, geez, how does this actually work, right? What are you doing? What are you building? Why does it work? And what do I need to be careful about? And that's what I want to kind of talk to you. The baseline of a lot of the technology is really in the storage system. This is the backing for these persistent disks. The compute side relies upon storage to be that persistent backup, which means storage has got to be durable and trustworthy. And luckily for us, Azure Storage is incredibly durable and incredibly trustworthy. With multiple copies, highly durable and scalable, for every read and write that happens in the system, three copies are involved, which means any disk fails and there's no concerns around us being able to keep the data both available and durable in those environments across both REST APIs and directly across the disks that you access. Likewise, Windows Azure Storage has direct geo-replication support, allowing you to replicate across multiple regions so that you have an additional set of copies in a different location, very easy to deploy and manage, and then also have your DR scenario for your Azure Storage directly available for you to use. From a cost perspective, this is fantastic about Azure Storage is that these disks are actually sparse. You're only paying for the blocks that you write, and we have built-in trim support. So what this means is that when you delete back your disks or your files on the box, you end up not paying for them anymore. This is a very unique offering that allows your storage space to be as low as possible and truly to pay for what you use when you're using Azure Storage. And it's available across a set of OSs, 2012 and 2012 R2, offered across both OS and data disks. When you look at the storage system and what's available, your virtual machine, when it comes up, it actually has two disks available on it. One is the C disk. This is your OS disk. This is stored in Azure Storage. It's, again, highly durable, triplicate copy. It gives you that Azure Blob support to be able to copy it, move it around, bring it back on premises or to a hosted cloud. Very easy to use. The additional aspect, it opens up with a D drive. This D drive is a temporary disk. It should not be used for any persistent data. It's intended to be cache space. And so it's on the local box. If the local box fails, so does this disk. And so you want to use this disk sparingly and with the right level of due diligence. Typically, it's used for tempdb, for example, for SQL Server, or you may be able to use it if you're replicating across a set of virtual machines. But use it, obviously, with care because it will go away, and you do not want to put an expected persistent SQL Server on this box. But you can add multiple disks. And so you can go in and add additional data disks very easily through the portal and add them and show them up inside the virtual machine. And those are just VHDs with a terabyte limit for each one, up to 16 for our largest VM sizes. And so you can get a total of a 16 terabyte striped disk available inside your virtual machine if you so choose. And so built on top of that storage is the ability to sort of capture and redeploy new virtual machines. And so one of the things that you want to be able to build is you're not just dealing with virtual machines and with VHDs. You want to be able to sort of capture a running state of a VM and be able to redeploy. Whether it's sysprepped or not, we want to offer this support to you. And so with a Windows or a Linux box, you can go in and you can capture both the running OS and all the disks attached using VM images. And these VM images then allow you to create and deploy new virtual machines from ones you've already built out. And so if you build out a SQL Server that you love, you can capture it, redeploy it, and sync it up, or maybe deploy in another region to sort of replicate that environment. All very possible and easy using VM images. Take the snapshot and redeploy as many times as you may want of that specific image using whatever Linux or Windows solution. You have the freedom to continue to deploy as much as you want to, even filling up a screen with a march of penguins. When you're looking for high availability, it's important to note that the availability set is a critical aspect to any workload that needs high availability. To deploy with a high availability workload, you need to deploy in two virtual machines across an availability set to get the SLA. And the primary reason for this is these are still physical machines. You have physical machines running inside our racks. You also have single power units and single network racks. These are also devices that can fail. And so when you deploy across an availability set, what we end up doing for you is actually making sure that we distribute this across a set of failure points. And so when you say two virtual machines in an availability set, we will go in and say, no problem, we'll make sure these are in different racks so that if one does fail, you're able to keep the other one running while we repair it and automatically redeploy you on a healthy rack. Very powerful aspect of the platform. And I'll talk a little bit more about how you extend this to having network high availability as well. And so when you look at some of the network support that we have, obviously the ability to do UDP traffic is available. All IP-based protocols between VMs can be done, including ICMP, dynamic ports, UDP, and you can, of course, port forward from traffic coming in or do custom load balancing. And so let me spend a minute or two on our load balancing solution so that you have a good idea of what we make available there. And so if you've got a virtual machine, a website, SharePoint, whatever it may be, we have a load balancer on our standard sizes built in for you to use. You don't have to go manage or deploy a separate load balancer. We'll deploy for you and allow you to configure it in a very easy and simple way. And so using the load balancer solution we have, you can pick your public port, your local port, your protocol. You can even ACL it. You can control where the access comes from and who gets access to that load balancer across however many instances that you want to deploy, up to a max of 50 today. And so with this load balancer, you can even add custom probes, allowing you to say, I want the load balancer to actually go check whether this special Check Health website is available on the machine, allowing you to have more control and more granularity in the way the load balancer will distribute traffic by saying, is this virtual machine responding not just to a health ping, but actually is this website up? If it's not up, I will stop sending traffic to it. And so when you combine this support with the support already mentioned around crossing multiple racks, you now suddenly have multiple racks and a load balancer that will distribute traffic between them. If one of them goes down, the load balancer will automatically detect it based on what probe information you have, or just a TCP probe if you've set the default, and redirect traffic to the other instance, allowing you to get a high availability application deployed without ever having to manage with a full load balancer experience. The best part about this, of course, is that it offers this financially backed SLA that Azure stands behind as saying, if you configure your application in this way, we will guarantee uptime as per specific 99.95% across those two instances. And so it allows you to get that trust, that confidence, that enterprise-grade expectation when deploying inside Azure. But this load balancer experience is not just limited to public-facing endpoints. If your application is fully internal, you may not want your IP address or your load balancing experience to be publicly facing. So what I just described does go through that public IP and goes back down to the application, but you could also take that away completely and make it fully internal using an internal load balancer, and allows you to connect using that internal load balancer to that application without your traffic ever leaving the internal virtual network that you've established. And so that traffic is never exposed, it's never public, giving you that peace of mind to deploy with that high availability but then hybrid experience to get what you need from the scale that the cloud has to offer. And just to quickly show what that looks like, let me walk over and just show you a load balancer experience. And so I've got a set of virtual machines deployed today, and I can go in and click Cori VM 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so I've got this experience and these virtual machines up and running. And so I can go in and connect to this public IP address and actually connect in, and it will load balance me between those virtual machines. And to show you what this looks like, I can show you the endpoints deployed. And like I said, amazingly easy to go in and configure these endpoints. And so if I show you here, I've got directly HTTP endpoint, public port 80, private port 80. I can go in, I can manage my ACLs, put in my remote subnet that I want to go manage my ACLs using, again, the CIDR solution. And so I can control that, but I can also go in and edit it and change, reconfigure the load balancer set. And here I can go in and configure what my probes are. What's my interval? What's my number of probes? Today it's TCP. Do I want to change it to HTTP and say, here's the probe path, check health.aspx. And I can configure all of this and manage it on these sets of VMs that I've got load balanced and allow me to sort of control that connectivity. And so to show you over here, I hit the load balancer. I went to VM3. If I hit F5, I go to the load balancer again. It should move me to different available virtual machines. There you go. I moved over to VM5. And so it will move me between those virtual machines as appropriate using the algorithm available. Excellent. So back to the slides. The final aspect of the platform that's worth mentioning, I've talked a lot about the security support that we've got. I talked a lot about Puppet and Chef support. I talked a little bit about the Visual Studio support. All of these are built on an underlying baseline technology that we've recently launched in Azure that's unique in Azure. It's called the VM extension model, which allows us to extend infrastructure as a service in ways that will enable customers to do much more and have much more power. And so the implementation aspect of this, it allows you to, whether you're deploying through Portal, PowerShell, CLI, from a curated set of extensions, the platform will now pull whatever you've asked it to pull, whether it be Symantec for your anti-malware solution, whether it be Trend, whether it be Microsoft for anti-malware, and then maybe Puppet, Chef, PowerShell, to be able to launch these solutions, configure your virtual machine, secure it by default, and never have to log in because we've taken care of all of that deployment and extension for you. And so like I said before, we've got Puppet, Chef, and PowerShell available in this mechanism to deploy. We also have the support directly in the portal to launch your Microsoft anti-malware solution, protected by default, Symantec Endpoint Protection, and Trend Micro Deep Security, all giving you that expectation of protected, secure by default with the enterprise-grade expectations that you'd have. On the dev side, both the web deploy and the remote debugging scenario that I showed you uses this extension technology. And there's just a set of more. When you log into a virtual machine, your initial experience will be a desktop experience to show you what that VM looks like, what it's running, and allows you to sort of log in and see that. That is all built using BG Info, enabling sort of that additional information. VM access, you can actually go in and reset your password using an extension. You forget your password, you forget the account that you've used to log in, you can go reset the administrator account and get back in using VM access via the access that you have to the Azure platform. Even Virtual Machine Manager has solutions to deploy configuration files on Azure, RDMA drivers to be able to extend your A89 sizes and do massive scale deployment, and the Windows Azure Diagnostic recently released to be able to do monitoring experiences on top of Azure and be able to deploy, monitor, and engage that virtual machine in a very easy and simple to use scenario. And so if you look at sort of the extension and the power that the extensions have, it does enable you to deploy many different types of solutions that partners can drive or that Azure can build on behalf of customers to be able to enable these types of solutions and deploy directly into Azure. And so with that, just driving to conclusion, as we look at the things that I talked about today, the ability to deploy all sorts of aspects of the platform, the ability to deploy across the enterprise-grade expectations that you have, across the hyperscale size that you're looking for, and across that hybrid experience, you can finally gain the dream of the automation, the pay per use, fast time to market, the global reach you'd expect, all using tooling and experiences and technologies that you're comfortable with to create a hybrid enterprise grade and a massively scalable cloud environment for whatever your workload may be, whether it's small, whether it's a single VM to be able to do a dev test deployment for a week, or whether it's massive, doing a huge amount of oil and gas deployment and analysis for 6 years. Both of these are very easy to go and very simple to pay for on a per-minute basis. And with that, I'd like to close down and see if there's any questions that we'd like to answer in the remaining 2 minutes here.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. So we'll go ahead and jump in. First question in from Douglas. Can you stand up a standard server, then load and configure unique apps, then save that server VM in a library so that it can be easily generated again in the future?
Absolutely. The VM image solution that I walk through the middle allows you to be able to capture and redeploy those virtual machines with all the disks already created. And you have two options for this. You can either do it as for Windows and Linux, you can either do it as sort of a captured image to then go through our provisioning pipeline again. And so you can then, if you sys prep the Windows box, you can put in your username and password and we'll deploy a fresh new Windows instance. Or you can do non-sys prepped, and then it's an identical image. You won't be able to give a new username and password through the process, but it will be exactly identical and deploy and look exactly the same as the one that you just deployed and just created. And so it allows you to save those aside and redeploy them for whenever you need them, or use it to scale out your app as needed.
Great. Well, thank you. You know, it looks like we're just about at the top of the hour here. So, you know, Corey, thanks again for presenting today, and a big thanks to everyone out in the audience for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for future sessions, and have a great day.